Good morning, listeners, and welcome to the Rally Podcast, Episode 3, Behind the Stacks. I am Miss Terry, and I am here with Miss Mary Pat again. I'm glad she made it back. How are you?
I'm good, Terry. How are you today?
Oh, good. Good. It's been an entertaining morning.
It has. A lot of unexpected things thrown our way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about audiobooks versus the written book. What do you think about that?
I think this is an interesting hot topic because a lot of people kind of have feelings about, is an audiobook really a book? Are you really reading? Is it, you know, considered a book type of thing? So this will be interesting.
Yeah. Do you want to first talk about the pros and cons of audiobooks? Or do you want to talk about the books we chose? What's the first thing?
We can talk a little bit about the books we chose.
Okay.
I think. All right. What we picked. What did you pick?
Well, for this episode, we went a different route. So I went with the JFic and I assigned you the YA.
Oh, okay.
So for my JFic pick, I picked Dumpling Days by Grace Lynn. She is a Newbery Honor author, and I had listened to this audiobook many years ago, and I had not read the actual book. So this time I read the actual book and re-listened to the audiobook. What did you choose?
I chose Wilder Girls by Rory Power.
Wilder Girls. That's right. Yes. Up your alley, isn't it?
I know. Well, it is because it's, you know, a little dystopian, which, you know, I like a lot. However, it probably is not going to be up everybody's alley, particularly in this climate and time. And these girls go to Maine boarding school and they're quarantined.
Oh.
Yes, the Q word.
Oh.
So it might hit a little too close to home right now for some people, but it is actually an interesting book, an interesting read. And I actually read the book previously, and I listened to the audiobook.
Oh, so it's just the opposite of
I
did.
It is just the opposite.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, and this is just me, I much preferred my audiobook over the written book, which is probably unusual, but there are a couple of reasons why I preferred it. I was able to, it was read by an Asian woman, and I know that audiobooks are, they can either do really well based on the narrator, who the narrator is, and this particular narrator was excellent. And this Dumpling Days is based upon a family who goes back to Taiwan for a grandmother's birthday, I believe. And it was in regards to a cultural and a culinary experience for me, because a lot of it, Dumpling Days, did you know how many dumplings there are?
I don't actually know, but I imagine there's probably a lot.
Oh my gosh, so many dumplings. So many dumplings. And dumplings that, after listening to the book several years ago, we as a family made it our mission to find these type of dumplings. They were called soup dumplings, where you have the dumpling and you bite into it and it's like a soup mixed in with the oh my gosh. Just listening to this woman read about it.
That makes me really hungry right now.
So
I didn't have a good breakfast.
No, you didn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It wasn't satisfying enough. Now I'm getting hungry.
Another thing that the audiobook did for me that the written book didn't deliver was the pronunciation of certain dishes.
Right. I can understand that.
Yeah. This woman obviously is very fluent in the language, and she could just rattle these dishes off and these sayings off. Where I was like, mi goron, what is that? You know, and listening to her, and mi goron means American in Taiwanese. And I was like, oh, okay. So, but it was a great, great audiobook. The thing I liked about the written book, there were some illustrations, but the best thing about it and it's probably really trivial, but in the bottom corner of the book, had a little added bonus of this. You know when you flip a book and you're given a movie? There's like a little character.
Like a flip book, I think it's called, isn't it? Okay. A flip book or something? Well, or
the audio
flip book movie or movie book or whatever it is.
The audiobook didn't have that, but this book, the actual written book, did.
So it had an added distraction for you.
Yes, it did. So when I couldn't pronounce a word and I had to go to Google and say, pronounce this, please. Yeah, then I could flip through my little movie and check it out. But did you know that audiobooks, and this goes along with how we feel, is that audiobooks help build and enhance the literary skills, such as the fluency, the vocabulary, the pronunciation.
You're saying audiobooks do.
Yes, audio.
Yeah. Well, in that case, in your case particularly, like you said, the pronunciation of things and stuff like that would absolutely. Yes. There was
a testament.
Couple books. Now, while I had taken, and I'm going to admit this, 7 years of Spanish and am not even at a conversational level, I listened to the book American Dirt, audiobook.
Oh.
And the narrator was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And her pronunciation of, you know, I would have probably butchered that.
Sure.
Reading it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear it spoken so eloquently and fluently is definitely helps.
It's a treat. I think you become more immersed into the story. You know, I think you're invested in regards. Did you know that audiobooks can create more emotion in people?
Oh, I totally believe that. And I am totally believe that because, I'm going to give you a little background.
Okay.
I actually only started listening to audiobooks 2 years ago.
What?
I know. I am like a bad librarian.
You're
No, you know what? I'm a very visual person.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I always needed the words to create the story for me.
Okay.
I was always concerned about audiobooks that because I'm not super auditory, that I would lose the story. I would not, like, wouldn't pay attention enough to it.
Okay.
That I would not be able to retain an audiobook. However, I had a coworker a couple years ago say, oh, she's listening to this audiobook and you should try it. But I just started back and forth to work listening to it in my car. And then that's it. Like, I have been hooked. I've listened to so many audiobooks in the last 2 years that, I'm hoping I'm making up for all the lost time, or maybe I just don't have as many things to think about, that would distract me. But I highly think that's not true. But so I was listening to a book on the way home from my family in New York, and I was sitting in traffic. Now, I always say, and I'm listening to this book and just listening to this woman narrate, and I'm in tears. It could have been the traffic
that made you sad.
No, I know it wasn't. I know it was the book, and I know it was just listening to her talk about this. I have become so emotional about so many parts of audiobooks, more so than
reading it yourself.
Reading books.
Yes.
Because
it's the tone.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you have a really good narrator.
And that's the key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've even discussed this. I've listened to audiobooks where there's some really gruesome parts. And I'm like in my car going, oh, this is
right.
I can definitely believe that it creates more emotion, audiobooks do.
Yeah, because our brain creates a more meaningful image with the audiobook than with the written word. It's a science fact.
It's a science fact.
It is a science fact.
And we all believe in science now. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my book.
Tell me.
Yeah. Wilder Girls. So it's like I had
what,
said.
What drew you to it? Was it the title? Be honest.
You mean originally to read it?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I like to read a lot of dystopian.
Okay.
I don't know. Must do it to torture myself or something. I don't know. Or to make my situation currently feel better. Okay. However, this book might not make your situation feel better. Like I said, these girls are at a boarding school on an island off the coast of Maine, which is kind of cool because it's New England-y. And, you know, the teachers start sort of getting sick and dying off.
Oh.
And then strange things start to happen to all the girls. Nothing consistent. It's kind of like different depending on the girl. And then they're told basically by the government they can't leave this island.
Oh my.
And they call it the Tox. I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, it might not be a read for everybody right now. However, you know, this was pre-COVID, my read of this book. And I will tell you, I did not like the audiobook at all.
What?
It's totally opposite of you.
Yeah.
I did not.
Why?
You know why? You said it right at the beginning. The narrator will make or break an audiobook. Oh. And for some reason, the narrator just did not resonate with me. Could it have been because I had already read the book and I already had sort of like an image of what I thought the girls would be like or the characters would be like, and the narrator sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say ruined it for me, but I did not take to the narration of this audiobook. I did not take to the audiobook as well. So I can't say that I had a lot of pros personally regarding this particular book. I liked the book. The book kept me
engaged.
What's going to go on? What's happening? What is really? Because then there's a little mystery involved at the end. Like these girls really want to figure out what's going on.
But the audio narrator did not.
The audio narrator did not give it to me, Mary Pat.
See, and my audio narrator did. And when I was reading it, I just felt like I was. I don't usually read with non-emotion, but I kind of felt like I was reading with non-emotion because I'm like, oh, she said it so much better, you know?
I know.
And the way she read, it was engaging. And I felt like I was like a family member tagging along on this trip. It was great.
I could totally visualize that.
No, yeah. And she really like planted you in Taiwan and you felt like, you know, you were part of the culture. And when I read it on my own, I guess because I don't have that experience, I don't have that travel experience that I couldn't do that for myself with the words alone.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
She gave you more of a visual.
She did.
She gave you more of a visual with her audio.
She
like audiobook. Yes.
You know, speaking of audiobooks, did you ever read the book The Help?
I did not.
Okay.
That's still on my list. You know, my list grows and grows and then I just.
So I will tell you, don't read the book.
Okay.
Listen to the audio book. Because I read the book and my friend said, oh, you need to hear the audio book. And at that point I was like, no, I didn't really care for the book. I listened to the audio book. I don't know what you like to do when you're listening to an audio book. Well, obviously you travel and you listen to
it. Back and forth to work. I rarely listen to music now in the car unless my kids are with me because they have no interest in reading the books that I'm reading or listening to the books that I'm.
I do audiobooks when I'm doing puzzles because, I get to do two of my favorite things. I get to listen to a book,
I've done that too.
And, you know, jigsaw puzzle.
Prepping dinner.
Yeah. And when I'm doing housework, like ironing and all that stuff.
You do that?
I do. But the audiobook makes it better.
I could see that. Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, The Help, oh my gosh, I was in stitches listening to that thing. Yeah, it was so good. So good. The narrator, and there might be more than one narrator in that book, but that took it from my dislike column and put it into one of my favorites.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to have to listen to the audiobook of this.
Yes.
So what is interesting is that when we were kind of talking about this whole topic, I came across an article that Daniel Willingham, he's a psychologist at the University of Virginia, did for the New York Times. I think it was 2018. So it's not too old.
Okay.
It's an opinion piece and it's all about audiobooks and books. And he's constantly asked, like, you know, what's better.
Okay.
And I think we brought this to the kind of forefront of our conversation before when we were talking about graphic novels in our last episode. That I don't really think that any format is superior to another.
I agree.
I think that they all give us different experiences. Mm-hmm. However, what I do love that he said is, he said, and I'm going to quote him from his article, print may be the best for lingering over words or ideas, but audiobooks add literacy to moments where there would otherwise be none. So I think back to you telling me, and I've got to listening to books when we're doing puzzles, when we're cooking dinner, when we're doing housework. Those are things that we do around our home that are daily activities or chores or whatever. And we're adding the element of literacy to those moments where otherwise we would not have any if we only had print.
This is true.
That's so a great point. That was a really kind of good quote and a great like idea. Like and when I think about the books that I really like to listen to on or that I like to read in print are a lot of like nonfiction, where they give me a lot of ideas and theories and things to ponder over deeper, because I can like he says, linger over those ideas a little bit longer than I can if I'm listening to something in audio. And I will kind of, to continue, I will say that I'm listening to a nonfiction book right now, which is a lot harder for me to follow because there are so many dates and references to like doctors and such. And those are the kinds of books I love to have in print. I love to have in front of me so I can go back.
Something tangible to go back.
Go back and rethink about this. Oh, well, if this was 1958 and now this is this, like kind of have... Whereas I'm losing a little bit because I'm hearing the date, but I'm not.
But it's really absorbing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
For me. So, I mean, that's me. That's me. But a lot of people like listen to nonfiction all the time. I prefer fiction myself. I don't know if like I listen to a lot of audio fiction.
I can't say that I've really listen to an audio nonfiction. I'm not sure that I would probably have the same issues as you,
where
get lost in the minutia.
And that's what's happening to me, the dates and all the dates and the doctors' names. I'm getting a little like losing track of them because I'm hearing them, but I can't.
Because as
being able to reference them.
Right. And as readers, we are kind of like puzzle solvers, you know, and we, in order to stay on track, we have to go back and look at the pieces,
right?
To see how it's built,
right?
So, yeah, I could see where an audiobook would fall short in the nonfiction, and there's probably a wonderful one out there that we haven't discovered yet.
That's right. And I think I've only done two nonfiction audiobooks, and the first one I can I literally remember myself, no pun intended, being like nervous about listening to it because I do like to read a nonfiction book.
So I know you're going to find this surprising, but do you know that I remember more of my audiobooks that I've listened to than I remember books that I have read? Seriously.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I find it very soothing and I don't know. There's a point of relaxation when somebody's reading to me. I can just let it go and just listen. And it's just so comforting.
Yeah. And so I wonder if you, because you find it relaxing and in that relaxed state, if you're better able to retain
maybe
what's being spoken about.
And I know, okay, so here's something that I found. It's surprisingly, researchers have found that reading is generally faster than listening. Here's a fun fact. The average adult can read 250 to 300 words per minute. That's fast.
That is.
Yeah. The ideal talking speed for comprehension is 150 to 160 words per minute. So based on what you just said, that makes sense that I'm probably just reading at Superman speed, you know, mm-hmm. and then when somebody's talking, it's slower. It makes me slow down and put on, like, you know, what I always tell kids, your listening ears.
Yes.
And you're more absorbing more and getting immersed.
That could be. That could be. I mean, we know that the audiobooks and the print books, they're suited to different purposes.
They are.
And there are a lot of more people out there, and especially students, that are listening to more audiobooks, learning disabilities and
true.
And reluctant readers sometimes.
And audiobooks are
they don't have to stop and read. They can listen while doing something.
Right. And that's usually with they say that you can read a book faster than you can listen to a book. So that's the downside for those reluctant readers. But for visually impaired people, you know, and as we get older, audiobooks are great.
Yeah. And Danielle Willingham also stated in that piece that audiobooks are great for people with dyslexia, obviously, because it allows them to gather meaning from words without having to work around decoding words.
Yes. Yes.
So
I can see that.
It's better for them for audiobooks wise, like the translation of print on page rather than words in your mind.
On audiobooks, in my research, they stated that they have the power to boost our moods and disrupt negative thinking patterns. Audiobooks do. And for those of us who are prone to anxiety and depression, they have the ability to replace our negative thoughts. Because we're listening to someone else. We're not focused on ourselves. We're listening to someone else. We're outside of ourselves.
Interesting. Now, there are people that say that reading should be like, you should be fully engaged. And that's why reading sometimes is, I want to use the word better, but I don't think it's better. Like I say, I don't believe any format is superior to another format. But that you're fully engaged in actually reading print books, they do say that you retain more, but that's opposing opinions. Opinions, you know, we all have our own opinions about. There are some people that won't do, like, I can't believe you can listen to a book.
Yeah.
Like, well, I had that thought too. Like, I had that my own opinion about myself. I don't think I can listen to a book because I think that I won't be able to, like, hear the story because there's too much in my brain. But when you say things like it calms and relaxes you and takes you kind of out of yourself while listening to another story, that makes sense, because I have listened to stories that have been wonderful from, you know, page one to the end.
Right.
You know, I have lost myself a little bit in the nonfiction. I will be brutally honest.
And I could see that. I could see that. So, you know, based on who I am, perhaps audio nonfiction would not be a good match.
Yeah.
Yeah. But audiobooks are a good match for me when the narrator is superior. Harry Potter. Did you listen to those narrators?
You know, I haven't done a Harry Potter.
Oh, Terry.
I know. If a lot of patrons are listening to this right now, they might not come back to the library knowing that.
Well,
Percy Jackson. We were a Percy Jackson camp.
Really?
In our house, yeah. And I tried to read them to my son a long time ago. He just did not take to them.
But the audiobooks?
No, nothing. He doesn't do audiobooks. He hasn't gotten over that hump yet. My daughter either, but I will say it's probably a lot harder for, like, teens to, like, possibly get on the audiobook.
Well, not when they're trapped in a car and you have to take a road trip and they have summer reading requirements. I mean, we've been audiobook participants because of some of the assigned school reading.
Right.
Afterwards, or if there's a summer reading program going on in the library, which we usually have, we're able to, you know, count that book towards the reading.
One of the best junior fiction books, audiobooks that I listen to so far, this is so far in my junior fiction audiobook, is Scar Island.
I don't know that.
By Dan Gemhar. Is it Gemhar? Or, oh, the narrator was unbelievable. He gave me goosebumps. Yeah. Well, the premise of the Scar Island is sort of a little bit like Lord of Flies-ish, but on a more modern take of it or whatever.
Okay.
But like, he does like all the characters and like sort of like a different voice. So
see, that's a good narrator.
He creates this sort of like dark, menacing environment, and you can sort of, it just comes
slips right into it.
Oh yeah, slips right into it. And it kind of gives me the shivers. But yeah, so subject matters, I think, that require a lot more focus, you know, thinking and rereading other parts, I feel like, are probably easier in print than in audio.
Yeah. Okay.
Personally. Because for those, for those types of subjects, the goal is to learn. And sometimes you have to, like, go over things more to grasp a concept or, you know, a timeline. And for me, the nonfiction audiobook probably is not ideal.
Gotcha. Well, I had a pros and cons list of audiobooks versus books. And we pretty much hit everything on my pros and cons list, our talking points. So the pros of the audiobook: accessibility. They're portable. You can listen to it at night. You don't need lights. The narrators, you can multitask. It's actually a fixed time limit. So you know, like, you pick up an audiobook and you say, oh, this is 4 hours. I can get this knocked out in, you know, however many days, right?
Right.
Yeah. If you're not a fast reader, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's light.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the
Yeah. And some people book. Like to know. I don't like, well, you know, when you have children, how long is this gonna take? You know, when are we going to get there? You know, those kind of questions. Like, I don't, you know, so I think having that fixed time to show them, like a movie, you know, this is only an hour and 40 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And they're convenient. They're environmentally friendly.
This is true. And we just got done with Earth Day.
We did. So I had a couple cons, and you expounded on one of them. Character voices don't always match up or always line up to what your impression may be of that character.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and then just in general, like, I don't know, a bad narrator.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of my cons. Sometimes the time is longer to listen to than to read. Again, that is your fast reader versus, you know,
right,
a slower reader. Another con is they're technology dependent.
This is true.
And you also spoke about this. You can't really scan or skip easily to refer back to a certain part or page.
Yes. So something you said tipped me off. Oh, about the whole.
It ticked you off?
Tipped me off to an idea, not ticked me off. Mary Pat, I would never be ticked off at you. So one time I tried to do a book at night, an audiobook at night, and set that sleep timer option that sometimes you can get with, like, I think, does Libby have one?
Yes, I think they do.
I know Audible has one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't suggest that.
Did you fall asleep?
Yeah. And then the story kept going without me. It should have something like some sort of sensor that, like, when you totally fall off, like your heart rate has slowed or something.
Or your brain rate.
That I'm no longer listening to the story. I need to turn this book on.
Oh.
That would be great. But it went on. And then the next morning I had to go back to ended.
Did you sleep well that night?
I think so. But I tell you, it could set you up for some really weird dreams depending on the book that you're reading, I imagine.
Yeah.
You know, if the last thing you read about is, like, I don't know, Scar Island.
Whatever, dinosaurs or something, and watch out.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Like being on a creepy island with monsters, that would be no bueno. Yeah.
No bueno.
Yes. But yeah, so I don't often listen to my audiobooks in bed.
Unless, I've done it like, a couple times.
I have when I'm getting ready for bed, but I can't, like, once I hit my pillow, like, I am. But I also have a hard time reading in bed, too, because I get tired quickly.
Same way, yeah.
I'm just exhausted. And then,
yeah,
like,
I know.
The print. Now, have you read a book and listened to a story simultaneously?
No, but I know people who do that. We have a librarian here, Tracy, who does that. Do you do that?
I have done that. Red Rising by Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, I love that series.
At first, when I got the audiobook, mm-hmm. and I started listening to the narrator, I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know about this. You know, am I going to like this narrator? But I totally fell in love with the narrator.
Okay.
But I also wanted to continue the story, like at night or something mm-hmm. like that. So I got the book and I would take off where I stopped listening, like in my car or wherever. I would go to that page and then I would read.
Okay. I could see that working really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that and I've done that.
So I have a question for you. Did you find yourself reading differently after listening to the narrator? Like, were you imposing his voice in your head?
Probably. I mean,
to the characters?
I did. I sort of kind of could hear the narrator's voice in my head while I was reading, but it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me at all. So, okay. Because that's the key, the narrator. The narrator did a good job of, like, I don't know, giving this guy a personality, you know, that I could, like.
So he blew life into the character.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, exactly. I haven't done it with a lot of books, but I did it with that one, and I feel like I did it with another one, but I can't remember. But yeah,
that's a good experiment.
Another quote that Daniel Willing had that from this article that I really liked was, he says, "Our richest experiences will come not from treating print and audio interchangeably, but understanding the differences between them and figuring out how to use them to our advantage."
I like that.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of a cool quote too. Like that, and going back, I don't feel like any format is superior.
I'll agree with that. Yeah. I think that I'm you have got me thinking now, and I know that's what all podcasts are for, that now I want to try a book while also listening, you know?
Yeah.
Because I you know, spend some time in the car. And perhaps I can do like you and fast forward to that section. So, all right then.
All right.
So, audiobooks, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Always thumbs up. Print books, thumbs up.
Yes, well, of course. Just books. Anything with the word books in it.
Right.
Thumbs up.
All right. Totally thumbs up. All right.
What are we going to talk about next?
You know what we're going to talk about next? Super important.
What?
Summer reading 2021.
Oh, woohoo!
Woohoo! And what's super important now for all our listeners to know is that pre-registration is open now for summer reading.
Pre-registration on Beanstack.
That's correct. That's okay. Correct. Thank you for reminding me and reminding our listeners. Yes, pre-registration on Beanstack is open now. And what's great, and thanks to the Friends of the Rowley Library, the first 60 kids ages 3 to 18 will receive a voucher for a Cookie Monster ice cream sandwich. Yeah, on our kickoff day, June 21st.
Yum.
Yeah, yum. Have you taken a look at those Cookie Monster ice cream sandwiches?
I personally have had one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. I forgot you did.
They're as big as your head.
I'm all about an ice cream sandwich as big as my head.
And it tastes so good.
Oh, remember how I said earlier I was really hungry?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this isn't helping.
dumpling. Can you imagine a day of dumplings and ice cream sandwiches?
Oh, fantasizing now.
Yes. Okay.
What kind of program can we put together for that?
Don't know. Well, okay. So,
oh my gosh, I wonder, is there a dumpling truck?
Oh, probably. There's a truck for everything, right?
A dumpling food truck. That would be awesome to have a dumpling truck here with our ice cream cookie truck. But we don't have that. So we only have the ice cream cookie truck, we hope, on the 21st.
Yeah. Yes. and that truck is going to be open for pre-orders also. So we can make it a family day.
Oh,
families
yeah.
can pre-order additional ice cream sandwiches and they can pick those up on a kickoff day.
That's right. There'll be all sorts of – so there's flyers out that have like a QSR code for doing those pre-orders. There's the Beanstack is open for registering, pre-registering for summer reading. We don't start tracking minutes until June 21st, our kickoff day. And you can start reading while you eat your ice cream cookie sandwich on the 21st.
Or you can listen to an audiobook while you're eating.
Oh, that would be way better because we don't want to get ice cream on our books.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Thank you for bringing that up, Mary Pat. And, you know, sticky fingers, that will get in the way of
audiobook or, you know, a podcast, because I think maybe one of our challenges in our summer reading program is going to involve listening to a podcast.
You could listen to our podcast.
Oh, we'd give you extra points for that one. Extra tickets, extra badges, whatever it was.
Yeah. Yes, definitely listen to our podcast. But also there are actually links to our summer reading theme podcast, Tales and Tales out there.
You pick some really good, stack. Nice choices there. I'm interested to get into those listening podcasts for the summer reading.
What I do want our listeners to know is that on the day of kickoff, if the truck is here, which hopefully it is, there will be no orders that day of event. You can't walk up to the truck and just ask for a sandwich to go.
Correct.
An ice cream cookie sandwich to go. All orders have to be pre-ordered, or the only kids that can get cookies that day are the kids that holding vouchers.
Okay. So. And how do we get the truck here, Terry? Tell us.
Well, we get the truck here by involving our families and all our listeners and getting some pre-orders.
So we have a dollar amount that we need to hit.
We do. Okay. We do have a dollar amount that we need to hit so that we can host the Cookie Monster truck here at the Raleigh Public Library, which I think would be awesome and fun. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have some sidewalk chalk, a wagon filled with sidewalk chalk. So when you come to pick up your cookie, you could write a message on the sidewalk here in front of the library or draw a picture to kind of kick off summer reading, and hopefully it's not typical New England weather. Hopefully it's nice and summery and sunny and puts everybody in a positive mood.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I also understand that if the truck gets here and we have pre-orders that need to be handed out, that there are going to be appointment times assigned, right? A 15-minute window?
I believe so, and I believe that's done when they order something.
Yeah. They're given their appointment
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, people, family members, pre-order your ice cream sandwiches so we can get the ice cream truck here. Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster food truck.
Yes. We could chant it all morning.
We want the Cookie Monster truck here. We want to host. We want to be able to take pictures of all our patrons getting their ice cream sandwiches with the truck.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic.
All right.
Plus, I want to eat a Cookie Monster ice cream sandwich.
I do too. I know I'm going to be pre-ordering, and I'm going to be pre-ordering not just for June 21st. I'm going to be stocking my freezer. That's how good
for the summer. Same with me. Or at least for the first week of summer.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Which is awesome because June 21st is the first day of summer.
How ironic.
I know. It's like someone planned it that way.
And who would that be, Miss Terry?
I
now.
You're so clever. Well, so what goes better to celebrate? The first day of summer reading, the first day of summer, and an ice cream cookie sandwich.
Ah, all right. You've hit all my buttons. I can't wait for June 21st.
I know. I can't wait till pre-order day, which is, well, actually it's open. So you can order until June 11th, correct?
Okay. All right. Perfect. Awesome. And what else are we going to talk about? Do we have any additional information?
Well, our very last take and make bags for the school year will go out on June 14th.
Oh, the last one.
The last one.
They have been a huge, huge success. The community has really, really enjoyed them.
Yes. And if you have, definitely send us a note and let us know if you've enjoyed them, what activities you've enjoyed doing. If you have favorites or anything, let us know. Also, just a little bit about summer reading. We do have some events, though, outdoor programmers coming.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I jumped the ship, didn't I? Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
I forgot about that, too. Well, we have a Dino Adventures person coming from Animal Adventures, and he's going to, I think, have some live animals and talk about how our current animals are sort of related to our prehistoric ones.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
We have Lindsay and her puppet pals, which is coming to the library.
Great.
What else? We have...
Oh, we have Magic Fred. He's coming.
He's going to put on a magic show.
And then to close out our summer reading program.
I'm so excited about this one.
Yes, the Flying High Dogs with Mike Piazza.
Yes. Which I'm super excited about. And that's actually going to take place on the Rowley Town Commons.
Where the other those performers are going to be on the front lawn.
Correct. Weather permitting, of course. Hopefully we'll have our fingers crossed for beautiful weather on those days.
Super. Well, super. We have an exciting summer reading program planned.
We do. And be on the lookout because there might be some pop-up in-person programming happening.
Awesome.
At the Rowley Library on the front lawn. We might have some in-person programming. And I would love to see so many friends come back to the library.
That would be. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we're also going to be doing a couple of those grab and take bags?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So it's a little bit of a hybrid.
Yeah, we got a balance going, don't we? Pop-ins and take grab and makes or whatnot, and performers coming. Well, we're getting a little bit back to normal, aren't we?
I can only hope it can go up from here.
Well,
if I just had some dumplings.
I'm telling you. Those dumplings.
Some soup dumplings.
Oh, God, they were so good. Listening to the book. And then we went down to Chinatown in Boston and we found them.
Okay, so I was going to just ask you that. Where did you go in Chinatown that you found the soup dumplings?
I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but I know there were chicken feet hanging in the restaurant. And it kind of disturbed me.
A little bit, yeah.
And the chicken's neck and the feet. But they were awesome.
Delicious.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, gosh. Yeah, and since then we have found many, many dumplings in various restaurants, and we always talk about this book.
Even I went down for a show a couple years ago now. Obviously, it was pre-COVID, but and right after the show, we were going to go to a dumpling restaurant that was well-known for its dumplings, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there were so many people there.
Really?
The wait was too long and everything. So we ended up passing on the dumplings. But my mouth is still watering.
Well, then I shouldn't share this story with you, but I will.
But of course.
Of course.
Because you like to torture me.
I do. Well, you do that to me too. So different ways.
Hence why you're on the podcast.
Yes. Yes. So based on this book and our desire to experience dumplings and all dumplings. Pre-COVID, there was like a dumpling fair down in Cambridge. And you had
dumplings.
Yes. So you had talked about, are there food trucks? Well, there were. It was around this little park. Yeah, this little park. And all these different vendors
were supplying dumplings. Terry.
It was. And in the middle of that was a little art fair, too. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, but that's so secondary. Let's get back to the dumplings.
I had fried dumplings. I had steamed dumplings.
Oh, my God.
I had. Oh, it was. Yeah, it was a
like a dumpling palooza.
Exactly. Exactly. I was a little bit put off because I thought, what is this going to be like? You know, so many trucks and what, but it was the best. I remember it clear as day. It was the best culinary day ever.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so hungry right now.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, hey, is it time for lunch?
No. You know what time it is?
Oh, it's time.
Or would you rather?
Oh, no. Would I rather eat a dumpling?
No.
Oh, boy. Mary Pat's hitting me with a would you rather question. Get our brains thinking.
It is my turn to pose the would you rather. So, Terry, would you rather lose the ability to read or lose the ability to hear?
Wow, this is a good one based on our talking topic today.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, I made a connection.
Hmm. Yes, you did. And you didn't even know it.
Mm-mm.
Lose my ability to read, which would be my ability to see too, or just I couldn't just read books.
Like it would probably be like just symbols or jumbles and you wouldn't understand it.
Okay. Or lose my ability to hear. I would have to say, would I rather lose my ability to read or lose? I would have to say I would rather lose my ability to hear.
Seriously?
Oh, wait. Well, okay.
You won't hear laughter. You won't hear people talking to you.
I won't hear my kids fighting.
Oh, well, there's a bonus.
I won't hear the birds chirping in my window really, really early in the morning.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, oh, that's a great thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know me and birds.
Oh. Terry doesn't like birds.
I know. Not a bum. Well, actually, now that I think about it, I would never be able to listen to an audiobook again, but then I would never be able to read a book again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hard
choice.
But
I'd also not be able to read a lot of other things.
Right.
Because I've lost my whole ability to read.
Right. This is a heavy question.
This is a heavy question. I don't like it.
Yes.
Can we talk about the pros and cons of your would you rather question?
No. Just answer.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, gosh. I think, well, the one thing, though, I do like about being able to read is that I do create my own imagery in my head about characters and what they would sound like or what they would be like. So, you know, and listening to an audiobook takes a little of that away from you. You're kind of pigeonholed into what the narrator feels characters sound like or feel. So, I mean, there is that. However, you know, you bring up good topics like audiobooks, you know, can make me feel more emotions than necessarily reading. However, I have cried over regular print books before. And that was mostly because they were about dogs and monkeys.
Yeah.
You know, like One and Only Ivan.
Oh, yeah. That was a sad book.
Oh.
You're digressing.
I am. You know why? Because I'm avoiding actually giving you an answer. I don't know. I think that I would. I would rather lose my ability to hear because, well, I already do know some sign language, so that might not be helpful. I took it in college.
Okay. You're so funny.
Oh, I don't know, though, you know?
Okay, what no, I don't
I like
know.
The sound of running water and like...
Oh, the like ocean.
The ocean.
Yeah.
And rivers. I love that. It's the rushing of rivers and stuff. And What would you?
Oh, I would definitely lose the ability to read. I don't want to lose my hearing. That's one of my senses.
Perhaps I would change. Perhaps I would teach myself to read again.
Couldn't I? True.
Maybe. Oh,
see. And then with hearing.
Couldn't I just like lose the ability to hear a story? Would I have to lose the ability to like hear everything? Because I'm only losing the ability to read. Why do then I lose like a whole other sense?
Because these are two powerful things.
Yeah.
So reading is important to us.
I want to create a new would you rather from yours. Would you rather lose the ability to read, or would you rather lose the ability to hear a book?
Well, that's not fair. That's not fair.
But it seems like it's more balanced that way, I guess. I don't know. Maybe if I could just lose the ability to read for a week then switch off.
So, okay, you're modifying my question.
That's a hard one.
Okay. I mean, so, okay, would you, here I have another one for you.
You know what? I'm not nearly as rough on you with your would you rathers as you are on me.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are.
This is just payback for doing the podcast, isn't it?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit. All right. So you're going to go with lose the ability to hear. Huh?
I wouldn't have to listen to traffic.
No, you traffic.
Wouldn't. Okay. Yeah.
But you can read.
I can read.
You can read. Yes.
You can do sign language for me and tell me what you hear.
I'm not good at sign language.
Oh.
Well, I'll draw you pictures.
Guess what? We have some books on that.
Sign language?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure we do. Yeah. Oh, speaking of, how do people search in the catalog for audiobooks?
Oh, easily. You can use a filter on the side of our catalog. On the left-hand side, there are filters of ways that you can narrow down your searches. And okay. One of those is audiobooks or books on CD and such. And so you can search through that. If you go to Overdrive, the Overdrive library, they have a whole pull-down menu at the top. One of them is called Collections. And under Collections, there's a whole list. You can go to teen audiobooks, junior kids audiobooks, new audiobooks. Like, you can do all sorts of searches.
All right, great. Well, you aren't going to be needing that anymore because you aren't hearing
anymore. I can't
listen
to audiobooks anymore, so no. I can only read print only for me.
Well, I think that about wraps it up, don't you?
I do think it wraps it up, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week, this month, and to our podcast, and we hope to have you back next month.